Hi guys, my name's Yasmin. I'm one of the lead pastors here at Centerset Church, brand new church plant in Silicon Valley. Hey, we're excited to meet you. If you're in the area, come check us out on Sundays, 11 a.m. at the Hotel Valencia in Santana Row.
Would you read with me James chapter 1, starting at verse 19? It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that are so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom." Everybody say freedom. God wants some freedom for some people today. "And continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but in doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." I want to speak to you on this idea of listening and doing. Listening. Turn to your neighbor and say, listening and doing. Listening. Turn to your other neighbor, the one you ignored the first time, and say, listening and doing. If you're new to church, we are a loud church because you entered a room full of faith. Let me pray, and we'll begin. If you guys can close your eyes. Thank you, God, so much that you are present and active, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are doing something amazing in this community, Jesus. Thank you, God, so much that you're going to change marriages. You're going to change relationships. You're going to change parents today, God. We just believe, God, that your word changes people, God. Thank you for loving us. We love you back, God. And everybody said,
amen.
If you're excited to be in church today, make some noise. Let me catch you up. If this is your first time in this sermon series called Faith That Works, we are reading a book of the Bible called James, written by, coincidentally, a guy named James. This guy has a brother named Jesus, and Jesus is God in his eyes. I have two siblings. I'm not sure about you, but it would take all the money in the world, listen, for me to ever write a book about them, and then for me to ever bow my knee and worship them. That means Jesus must be incredible that his own family worships him. Jesus, on the other hand, is more than just a prophet, more than just a good teacher, more than just a wordsmith. He is God in the flesh. And James didn't believe that for the first 30 years of his life. For the 3 years that Jesus was doing ministry, James wasn't listening. He wasn't paying attention because he couldn't believe it. It wasn't until Jesus, after he walked out of the tomb, they said, maybe this is something more to this. And I would challenge some of you this morning. We don't believe Jesus because he's a good teacher. We believe in him because the tomb is empty. And then he wrote this book, listen, to a bunch of Jews who became Christian. You and I, the persecution we face are memes and Instagram comments. The first century, they were like being persecuted, like real persecution. Not first world problems where there's a bunch of people in Starbucks in line in front of you and you're like waiting 5 extra minutes. Like these are real, like they're being stoned. They're being cut in half. And throughout this entire book, there is tension. James last week talked about trials and temptations. Trials are things God allows to build you because he's trying to pull out the best in you. Temptations are things that the devil uses to destroy you because he's trying to pull out the worst in you. Today, the tension is listening and doing. Listening and doing. I got 2 points today, super simple. And the first one is this: talk less. Everybody say, talk less. Read this verse with me in James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters," I'm going to stop right there because we live in a day where it's the Me Too culture. Women are now standing up for their rights, not only in the home, but in the workplace. Last Friday was International Women's Day. And you can celebrate that. And we'll read this verse, and we'll just quickly skim over it. You need to understand, in the first century, women were property. They didn't have rights. A man could divorce a woman for any reason that he thought. A woman didn't have those same rights. Yet James is writing, brothers and sisters. See, Christianity isn't just on the forefront of human rights, adoption, foster, hospitals, the Red Cross, Goodwill, all Christian in origin. But it's in the forefront of women rights. See, when the tomb was empty, guess who were the first person that were there? It was women. And in that culture, in a court of law, you couldn't even have an eyewitness that was a woman because their testimony didn't matter. Yet God says, you matter to me. God says, I want you to be the first one to declare to all the brothers that you're just as important as they are. James says, the brothers and the sisters. Let me tell you why this is so important. God gave this church a vision to reach unchurched people. And when we started 17 months ago, we had no clue what to expect. We just wanted to reach unchurched people. If you're here for the first time, you're like, man, this is a crazy church. Welcome to Centerset. But the vision that God gave, listen, was a 1x3x5 vision. He wants us to reach 1,000 people, over three campuses, three different cities over the next 5 years. Yeah. If I can be very bold, we could never do that without you women.
Come on.
Some of you women, you don't see yourself the way that God does. And James wants to say, this word, this entire book is to both of you, women, brothers and sisters. And then he says, everyone should take note. Even James is saying take notes from your Bible. Your journal, I'm not sure if you heard this, if you're new to Center Step, but they say that you take notes in church, you're more likely to go to heaven. People always ask, what's the percentage? I don't know, but it's like 95%, so it's a good. Everyone should be quick to listen. I'm not sure if you've ever done this before, but like I can't like speed up my listening. Like, how do you speed up? How do you quick to listen? Like, what is James saying? This is what communicators do. They use a catchphrase to get your attention. What James is trying to do, he's trying to make this memorable. You can't listen faster. He's trying to make so you don't forget. If you've ever been talking to your kids, you've ever been talking to your wife, everybody at work, and you're in a conflict and there's tension, and both sides are communicating, but no one's actually listening, James is saying, if you want to resolve that, you got to be quick to listen. Yeah. But what do? What's the first? We want to be first to heard. James will look at us and say, do you want to be listened to? Everyone would raise their hand. Do you want to be understood? And everyone would raise their hand. And be like, James is like, listen, you got to be quick to listen. See, the first thing relationally that you and I can do whenever there's conflict, whenever there's tension, whenever there's like a disagreement, is quickly listen. And then he continues with this. Slow to speak. And the Greek actually there is to wait. Like literally wait and then say your words. But this is like totally countercultural. Like I'm not sure about you, but I love to quickly speak and slowly listen. Right? Like the average woman in this room says about 20,000 words a day. Some of you women are offended, like, oh, it's like 40,000, Pastor Allie. Are you kidding me? Guys speak around 7,000, not including text messages, right? And when you do, when you're quick to listen and slow to speak, it changes your marriage, changes your parenting, it changes how you behave at work. I'm not sure if some of you guys can understand, but like the first couple years I was married, my wife would come home with a trial, some obstacle, and I'd be Mr. Fix-It, right? Mr. Bible person. Mr. Let me help you fix all of your problems. And how many know that's not that causes the problem to be even bigger than normal, right? Guys, if I can encourage you, just let your woman talk. She'll solve her own problems sometimes. Yeah. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Yaz comes home. I'm like, babe, I don't call her Pastor Yaz, I call her babe. You can't call her that though. I'm like, babe, you look flustered. She's like, I'm fine. I'm fine, Allie. I'm like, you don't look fine. She's like, you're family. How many of you know that Peter, on the first year of ministry, Jesus resurrected his mother-in-law. 3 years later, Peter was still angry and denied Jesus 3 times. It's the truth. My wife comes home. She's upset. My mother-in-law had done something. She's like, you're family, Allie. I can't. Sometimes I'm not going to even say it. I'm like, what are you feeling, honey? The old Allie would have called my mom, tried to fix the problem. Now I said, honey, what are you feeling? Pastor Yasmin starts explaining what happened. She's like, your mom keeps giving my daughter candy. I can't allow this to happen. I'm like, oh my gosh, hopefully she doesn't know what I do either. Right? As my wife keeps talking, she goes, I know what to do. I'm just going to call your mom and tell her I love you, but you can't give her any candy anymore. She sits down on the couch, like, oh, thanks, Pastor. Just call me out, Pastor. She goes, thanks, Allie. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just, like, listened and nodded. And that's the tension that James is speaking to. Sometimes when we engage in conversation, sometimes when we're in conflict with our children or with our parents or even with our spouse, all we do is talk. Sometimes when we come to the conversation, I have the wisdom bucket. I have the age bucket. I have the experience bucket. I have the insight. Stop talking. Listen to me. This is why sometimes parents come to church and they're like, my kids don't listen to me anymore. That's why spouses come to church and they're like, my wife doesn't share how she's feeling anymore. And James would be like, you idiot. Quick to listen, slow to speak. And there are some of you here this morning, you're exploring faith. You're wondering if Christianity is even real. Listen, some of the leadership books that are coming out are just taking Christian principles and they're repackaging them. One of the best-selling books of all time is called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Written by a guy named Stephen Covey. He's a Mormon. But he has this habit, which is one of the 7. Number 5, it says this. It says, seek first to understand, then be understood. And all the liberals are like, oh my God, that's like so good. And God's like, are you kidding me? I've been saying that for like thousands of years. And James is saying, listen, if you do this, if you're quick to listen and slow to speak, there's a byproduct that's going to happen in your relationships. The way that you parent is going to change. The way that you do marriage is going to change. The way you work with employees is going to change. Read this next verse with me. I'm going to read the whole thing all over again. It says, be my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. See, what James is trying to say is that angry people don't listen. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. See, anger isn't a sin. God gets angry, but yet does not sin. What he's trying to say is quick anger is sinful. quick anger produces the unrighteousness of man. When women and children are being abused, you should get angry. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. God is saying be slow to anger. And his formula for relationships is this. Super simple. Write this down. The longer you listen, the more you learn, the less likely you get to be angry. The longer you listen, the more that you learn, the less angry you become. And then he says this. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. There are times, just being honest, I'm a pastor, there are times I read verses in the Bible, and I'm like, did the author have a brain fart? Like, we were talking about anger and listening, and what the heck is this all about? Like, is he changing the subject? Like, you ever see the movie Up and the dog, like, squirrel, like, looks away, and then he comes back? Like, I feel like James is doing that. Like, you're talking about one thing, and then the next time you change the subject, James is actually doing something very deep. Saying the way that you talk to people is the same way that you talk to God. There's a connection there. So you're not just resistant against people, you're resistant to what God has to say. See, you don't just not listen to people, you do the exact same thing to God. This is why some people, they come to church, they go to groups, they serve on the dream team, and there's still no life transformation. He's saying that it's not just that you're not receptive to what people say about you, you're not receptive to what God says about you. And James, he's not saying this because he wants to control you. He's trying to save you. He says, if you do this, which can save you? Not for eternal life, because only Jesus dying on a cross can do this. He wants to change your marriage. He wants to save your marriage. He wants to save your parenting. He wants to save your relationships, your friends. Save you from apologizing to your daughter for saying something mean. Save you from apologizing for some mean and regretful words that you didn't want to say. Save you from anger. Save you from a divorce. And so James says, we don't have a speaking problem. We have a listening problem. And the word therefore says, if that's true, therefore do this. Do you have a hard time arguing with people? Do you have a hard time getting along and communicating? You might do the same thing with God. When's the last time you listened to God? When's the last time you got before God in silence and let him speak to you? See, I think God wants to solve some of your problems. I think God wants to deposit into your marriage, into your parenting, some solutions that you can't solve on your own. Yeah. When's the last time you got alone with him and were just sat in silence? Yeah. See, I can tell you, the deeper I get in my relationships, the more I'm okay with silence. See, when Pastor Yaz and I were first dating, I was a full-time engineer, I was going to seminary, and I was pastoring on the weekends. I'd come home most nights at like 9, 10:30, and then I'd have to call her on the phone. March 3rd, actually, was our 7-year date anniversary. Hey! But there'd be times where I'd come home from work, or I'd come home from school, and I'd call her. And because my brain had been fried all day, I have to write down all my questions because I was afraid of being silence. I'd be like, what kind of shampoo do you use? What do you do first in the shower, conditioner, shampoo? Like, stupid questions, because I wasn't comfortable with silence. Then I asked her really important questions, like the kinds of questions that decide if we get married or not. French fries, ketchup or ranch, because I ain't about that life, right? She said barbecue sauce. I'm like, oh my God, this woman is exotic. I do. Right? What's the point I'm trying to make? I wasn't okay with silence. Some of you are not okay with silence with God. See, in Psalms 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I'm God. There's a knowing that you will never experience. There's a revelation that you will never have until you're silent. See, before you can speak, you need to first learn how to listen. Most of your relationship problems are not speaking problems, not communication problems. They're listening problems. And you don't just do it with people, James says. You do the exact same thing with God. And that's the first tension. That we don't know how to listen. We talk too much. Talk less. And then James transitions to the second point, if you're taking notes, is do more. Everybody say, do more. Read this verse with me. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, everybody say perfect, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Anyone ever have a bad workout experience? Like a come on, show of hands, we're in church, you can be honest. I love working out. Let me correct that. I love the idea of working out. And that's most of us, right? a couple years ago, right after I graduated high school, one of my high school buddies that we used to play football and basketball, used to go to the gym with, he injured his shoulder like really badly to the point where he couldn't work out anymore. And then he started doing what non-athletes do, which is running. I'm commanded to preach the gospel. Don't be upset. Right? So he like, runners are like vegetarians. Like, how do you know who's a runner? And who's, they tell you immediately, and they waste the next 2 hours of your life telling you about those things. Right? So for like months, he's like, you need to come running with me. You need to go. Let's go to Rancho San Antonio. I'm like, bro, I've never run two miles. I've never had to run from the cops that long. Like, what are you talking about? Like, who runs more than 2 miles? He's like, bro, you're going to love it. You're going to change your life. Let's go. I'm like, okay. And I'm terrified. I've never run more than 2 miles in my life. And I show up, and there's all these, like, skinny guys who look totally unathletic. I'm like, dude, I got this. Right? We're stretching. I'm like, I'm not afraid anymore. Come on. These guys, like, 5'5", come on. Right? And we start, and immediately it becomes very difficult. And it wasn't the running part that was hard. It was the lack of oxygen part that was hard. Right? I don't smoke, I don't drink, but I'm convinced I'm about to have a heart attack, like 5 minutes into this thing. And then I'm literally on the verge of quitting, and then like they're like Tony Robbins guy on the team, like wherever this like group is, he begins to yell, come on, what are you gonna do? Come on, what are you gonna do something? I'm like, oh my God. And like every man, you know, when we get prideful, like either you fight the guy and kill him or you keep going, like, right? So I keep going another 5 minutes and then hills. And remember in the words of Jesus, if you have faith the size of a mustard, you tell this mountain to move. That didn't work. Nothing worked. And as the sky began to go black, as I'm fading into like death, I'm like, I can't even say stop. I'm like, just go. I can't even talk. And I think those words on that day mean so much to us. What are you going to do? Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you going to do? See, I'm a workout fiend. I've done cycle classes. I've done weight classes. I've done swimming classes. I've done yoga. I've done weightlifting. I've done bowling. You name it, I've done it. I still look like a 12-year-old boy with my shirt off. It's not my fault. But my point is that information doesn't lead to transformation. This is why some people are so good at giving advice, but they're not good at taking it themselves. See, someone will lose their boyfriend. God's got another man for you. You don't get that promotion at work, God's got a better job. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. And then when they lose the boyfriend, when they lose the promotion, they're like crying out to God, Eloi, Eloi, lamas machnai. Like, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? Because just because you have a uniform doesn't make you a soldier. Just because you have a stethoscope doesn't make you a doctor. Just because you stand in a garage doesn't make you a car. And listen, just because you come to this gathering called Center Set doesn't make you a Christ follower. That's the tension that James is talking about. He's trying to address, it's not the knowing that brings the blessing of God, it's the doing. Yeah. It's the doing. This is why every time Pastor Yasmin and I go on vacation, I spend most of my time indoors. So when I go outside and spend more than 5 minutes, I get sunburned. Even though I'm brown and white people give me those looks, come on, I'm just being real. I still get sunburned. I get the redneck, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I remember to buy a sunscreen. I remember to pack it, but the power only happens in the application. You can own a copper tone factory, but it will never help you until you apply. That's what James is trying to say. Knowing the truth won't help you. You can own every Bible in the world, but unless you do it, that's where the blessing is. Look what he says in James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I love that James says the Bible is like a mirror. See, the Bible is the only book that as you read it, it will read you. It will examine you. It will read and see the motivations of your heart. Yeah. This is why you can't just like skim the Bible. You got to go deep. You got to ask it questions. Not only do you need observations, you need application. That's why the power of this journal is so powerful. Now, we don't want you to do this out of religious or legalistic obligations, but knowing that information will never change you. It's when you apply it to your life that it changes you. But James is saying, it's not that we don't know, it's that we forget. People are always like, Ali, Pastor Ali, how do I build remembrance in my life? Let me tell you, repetition builds remembrance. Repetition builds remembrance. See, a couple years ago, about 20 years ago, there was this TV show on TV. I mean, remember TGIF. Most of you had a terrible childhood. This was like the best two-hour block of TV in life. Maybe some of you are like under the age of 20 and you spent your Friday nights like doing this with your cell phone. The cool kids used to watch TGIF when like I was 8 or 9 or 10. It was like the best two-hour block of TV ever. It began with Full House. That's Stephanie Tanner, my God, right? And then it followed by Family Matters. Remember that song? It's a rare condition in this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Come on now. Come on. When I hear those songs, when I see those characters, when I see Steve Urkel, it just takes me back to 9 years old again. Yeah. And then it was followed by Step by Step. I remember that because there was a woman on that show that was on the show my mom used to watch. It was Three's Company, Suzanne Summers. She was on the Step by Step. Step by Step. Day by, you know, come on now. And then the fourth show was always this rerun that they always canceled. They're trying to figure like their life out. Like, what's up with that fourth show? But my point is, it's been over 20 years. And I still know those characters. I still know those songs. Why? Because repetition builds remembrance. Yeah. See, James isn't saying these words to beat you down. He's saying, I forget too. Yeah. See, I knew the promises of God, but I didn't listen to my brother for 3 years. For 3 years, he was trying to tell me that he was more than just a good teacher. He was more than just a prophet. Even though I knew the prophecy said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and be raised in Nazareth, the very places that I was at, I still forgot. So you shouldn't hear these phrases that looking in a mirror and forgetting yourself is meant to ridicule you, meant to make you think less of yourself. James is saying these things to encourage you. The principle is if you forget, keep looking. That's why my wife has a compact mirror in her purse. Whenever we're out on a date, she'll pull it out. Yep, still look good. And she puts it back in. Why? Because the mirror reminds you and shows you where you have flaws. That's the power of the Bible. Not only does it reveal who God is, listen, it reveals where you fall short, where you need to step up. Yeah. As God reveals himself, and as you see him for who he really is, he tells you who you really are. Yeah. He tells you that you are the head and not the tail. He tells you that there's greater that is in you than is in the world. Yeah. He tells you that his plans for you are good and that he has life for you, that the best is yet to come. Yeah. See, the reason that James says, don't stop looking, because even he forgot. And there are so many people in this room that you have no idea that the way that God sees you. Some of the women in this room, you don't see yourself as a leader, even though God does. Some of those men in this room, you don't see yourself the way as a godly man, the way that God does. And you forget. And James doesn't say these words to beat you down. He's saying, look, I did the exact same thing. If your problem is you're forgetting, you need to build remembrance in your life. Don't stop looking. I'm going to end with this one last thought. James, as he's preaching these words, as he's saying these things, there may be a lot of questions that, like, I didn't even answer. Like, maybe you come to church and, like, maybe you used to do church and maybe you're done with church. And you have all these questions. I didn't answer any of them. Let me just share one last thing. Jesus did these two things that his brother James said. He spoke less and he did more. See, when God came, he didn't come as a prophet. He didn't come as a wordsmith. He didn't come as a politician. He came as a fragile baby that was speechless. God didn't speak for the first 30 years. He experienced life the way that we did. He felt the pain, the sorrow, the weddings and the funerals, all the things that we go through, he experienced. And at the age of 30 is when he first began to speak. And the people, when they followed him, the reason was they said he spoke differently because they felt like he was actually listening to them. He actually understood. He wasn't like the religious leaders who were in their ivory tower. Jesus was different. He actually heard them. He listened to them, and then he spoke. And then Jesus said crazy things like this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to me can have eternal life. And James believed that. And even though they killed James, James believed that as he closed his eyes, he would open them on the other side of eternity and he would see his brother. And he wants to give that same invitation to you. It's not about doing. It's not about talking less. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. And he teaches you how to talk less. He teaches you how to do more. He wants to change your life. He wants to change your marriage. He wants to change your parenting. It's not just leadership principles in a book. God wants to change your relationship with him. He wants to take those principles and make them spiritual. He wants to speak to you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to tell you who you are because you keep forgetting. If you guys can close your eyes and bow your heads, I'd love to pray for you this morning. God, thank you so much, Lord, that your word is perfect and true, Thank you, Jesus, that even your brother who denied you for years, turned to faith. I just believe that there are people in here that have been objecting to you for a long time, but today's the day, God. Today's the day they're going to receive you. I pray for those, God, that are having difficulty in their parenting. Would you teach them to be quick to listen, slow to speak? I pray, Lord, that for those who forget who they are in Christ, would you tell them to look again, to look again? I pray for those this morning, Lord, that want to start a relationship with you, that didn't realize that you came and left heaven to die for them on a cross, and that Christianity is not about us doing anything. It's about you doing everything. If that's you this morning, and you want to start a relationship with the living God, the God that loves you, who knows everything that you've ever done, and he still loves you, and he still died for you. See, Christianity is not about you doing, but you receiving. He did it all on a cross. He paid the penalty. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you who you are. He wants to tell you who you really are, not what the world says you are, not what your parents say you are, but he's the one that made you. He wants to tell you why he created you. He wants to tell you what the purpose in your life is. If that's you this morning, you want to start a relationship with that living God, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just raise your hand? Would you be willing to raise your hand? You're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. You're saying yes to the living God. You put your hand down. Would you pray this prayer with me? Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for paying my penalty on a cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it all. I receive your gift. I receive your forgiveness. Would you fill me, Lord, with your spirit so I can follow you all the days of my life? In Jesus' name, amen. If that doesn't get you, stand up. We're going to sing a few more songs and then do a baptism. I just want to pray for the offering this morning. Yeah, we just believe in this church that worship is not just the words that we sing, it's a lifestyle. And we are so blessed with every good and perfect gift that comes from above, that we have because God first gave to us. We want to pray that he would take this offering and he would use it to make his name famous in this valley. God, thank you, Jesus, so much for what you've done in our lives, the way you've changed us. Would you take this offering, God? Would you take our tithes and offerings, God? Would you make yourself famous in this valley, Jesus? God, we're so grateful for everything that you've given us, God. We just pray, Lord, for those, God, that are in our family, that are friends, God, that don't know you yet, that they would receive what we've had. God, would you tell us who we are? As we come to you in silence, God, as we come to you in meditation, God, as we clear our minds of our thoughts, would you speak to us who we really are? Would you change us, Lord? And everybody prayed, amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Centerset Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.